And a strange thing happened on the way to the cross. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. Jesus took with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went up on a high mountaintop. And we read about that in Mark 9. Now, anytime you hear those three names mentioned with Jesus, you need to stop and pay attention because something really important is about to happen. And we see that a couple of times in the Gospels. For instance, if we go back to Mark 5, you read how Jesus took those three, Peter, James, and John, apart, and they witnessed him raise a little girl from the dead. Jairus, who was a leader in the synagogue, had come to him, and by the time Jesus got there, the little girl was already gone. Jesus raised her from the dead as he raises us to new life. Near the end of the Gospels, it was Peter, James, and John who went with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane to wait with him on the night of his rest. And of course, our scripture reading for today, when Jesus took them up on a mountaintop and was transfigured before them. And that's in chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. We read, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And I'd point out that Elijah represents for us the prophets. He was one of the first and the greatest of all the prophets. And Moses, of course, represents the law. And together they represented the prophets, the law, and the gospel. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. When they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Now, there have been a lot of theories as to why Jesus orders his disciples not to tell anybody anything about what they had seen. The one that makes the most sense to me is that at this point in time, Jesus didn't trust these three disciples or any of the other disciples not to say something stupid, basically. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but I've actually compared these three to the Three Stooges before. I actually put up a picture of the Three Stooges because that's kind of where they were. And just some kind of evidence of that. If you turn back a chapter, this is chapter 9 of Mark. If you turn back to chapter 8, you have the story of when Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. And then Jesus says, well, let me tell you what that means. For me to be the Messiah means that I must go to Jerusalem and be arrested and crucified and die at the hands of the chief priests and the elders, and on the third day be raised again. And I guarantee you, not one of those disciples really was listening. They didn't get it. Because Peter steps out and he says, oh, no, 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 we're not going to let that happen to you. We will stop that from happening. You remember what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not interested in what God wants. You only want what you want. Pretty obvious that Peter wasn't really listening. I mean, he may have been hearing the words, but he wasn't really listening to what Jesus was saying. Likewise, James and John, we know that they were pretty clueless too. These were the sons of Zebedee on their way into Jerusalem. A chapter after this happened, in chapter 10 of Mark, it says that they came to Jesus, this was on Palm Sunday, and they said, we want to sit one at your left and one at your right when you come into your glory, when you become the king. We want to reign with you. So again, probably not really paying attention to what Jesus had been saying over and over again at this point. And of course, we know that when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, they could not even stay awake. Again, the Three Stooges with Jesus. He just needed them to wait with him, and they fall asleep. And just the chapter before that, Jesus had said, and what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. They can't even manage to do that. So if I were to summarize the lesson that we learn from Peter, James, and John, I'd probably want to point to that verse in our story for today, Mark 9, verse 7, where that cloud kind of hovers over and covers up everything, and a voice speaks to those three disciples and says, "This is my son, whom I love, my beloved. Listen to him." So what does God want from us? He wants us to listen to his son. It really is pretty straightforward. Listen to what he says. And, of course, follow that up with what you do. Listen to him and act on it. But as we see from the disciples themselves, this isn't always easy for us to do. It's hard. So the question I want to ask today is, how do we really know when we're listening to Jesus? How do we know? So I talked this over with somebody who's kind of an expert in listening and learning, my wife, Tammy, who is a special education teacher. And so we were talking a little bit about what does it mean to actually learn, to listen and learn. And we came up with three signs, evidence, that you're actually hearing and understanding what you're hearing. And those things include comprehension, retention, and application, which sounds like teacher jargon to me, doesn't it? Sound like teacher jargon? But basically all that means is that you understand it and can articulate it, that you remember it so that it's there for you to use when you need it in the future, and finally, that you actually apply it to your life, that it translates into the way you live. So let's go ahead and take a look at each one of those. First, we're going to talk about comprehension, which is the action or the capability of understanding something. And it seems to me that when you understand something, then you can actually articulate it or make it clear to others. When I was in college, I took my first philosophy class at Culver Stockton with a professor by the name of Dr. Edward Sawyer, and I really fell in love with philosophy. I think that was when I'm pretty sure I was on the right track at that point. And it wasn't because it was an easy class. In fact, he was infamous for being very difficult, because he wouldn't give tests that were like multiple choice where you just kind of had to pick out the best answer. He would say, "I want you to understand this idea so well that you can apply it." So he would say, for instance, "Here is a problem. Now I want you to use this philosophy or this philosophical idea in order to address this problem. How would you do that?" Well, you better know your stuff if you're going to answer that question in an essay. And so because it was so tough, we got together in a study group every week. And that's not actually my study group, but that's another study group. But the idea was we would get together and we would kind of teach each other. And what I learned was that if I could understand something well enough to explain it to somebody else, then not only would I be able to answer the questions, but I might be able to help somebody else to do the same thing. That's what it means to really comprehend something. Unfortunately, when I look at the culture that we live in and the world that we live in, what I see people comprehending, in other words, what they're able to actually say clearly to other people and communicate about what they understand, has very little to do with being a disciple of Jesus. In fact, almost nothing. What I hear people comprehending and clearly saying are things about celebrities. Boy, people understand all about that, love to talk about it, love to take in all that they can about that kind of stuff. I hear them talking very clearly about politics and about current events, which is okay, but again, that doesn't necessarily translate into being a disciple of Jesus. I hear people talking about new gadgets and all the new technology. People are real clear about that, understand really well about that. But the problem is there's a million voices out there that want our attention. And a lot of those voices, the message that you're going to be hearing from them is that you need to be afraid, or you need to be outraged, or you need to be angry, or you need to be envious, or you need to be something that's probably not going to build you up much. And if you're listening to those voices, you're probably not going to hear this, Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry of its own. You're not going to hear, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You're probably not going to hear this message, love your enemies. Tell me where else in culture you're going to hear that. Anywhere. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Or come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. You're not going to hear those things because you've got to listen to Jesus if you're going to hear those things. And a lot of people just aren't paying attention. When we pay attention to what Jesus has to say in things like Bible study, whether it be personal Bible study or Bible study with a group of people along those lines, participate in a life group on Wednesday night or on Sunday mornings, or go to worship regularly. You do those things, and the Word of God will make a home in you, and it will grow in your heart. It will become a part of who you are. You will really be able to listen to Jesus in all the ways that we've been talking about, but you will retain it. Okay, and that leads to our second sign of real learning, which is retention. Retention is the continued possession, use, or control of something. I think that Jesus had retention in mind, maybe not that word exactly, but along these lines, this concept, when he told the parable of the sower, which is one of the first parables that he tells. It's one that we read in all of the Gospels. And it's a great, great parable. He says, once upon a time there was a man who spread seeds all over the place, and some fell on the path where they didn't even get a chance to take root. The birds came along and ate them up. And some fell on rocky soil where they were able to put their roots down a little bit, but there was just so many rocks that they grew up quickly, but then they withered out and they died. Some fell among weedy soil, where there was so much other stuff competing that they couldn't thrive, but some fell on good soil, and they took root, and they bore fruit. And of course, what he's talking about there is his teaching. He's talking about what he had to say, God's word. When we pay attention, when we really listen, it takes root in our heart, and it's there for us to remember and to use and to apply when we need it. And the really good news is that you don't even have to do this all by yourself. You don't have to work that hard at it. And let me say, this is the verse that I one of my favorite verses in John, where it says, the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus talking, he says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Now think about that. So what he's saying is that when you need it, it will come to mind. If you've been paying attention, if you've been listening and comprehending what Jesus says, when you need it, it will be there. Now, for those of us who maybe struggle with memory a little bit from time to time, that's pretty good news. There's a story about two guys, they were talking, two older guys talking one day, and one says, you know, I'm taking this memory pill, and it's awesome. And I don't have any trouble remembering anything. And the other friend said, really? He said, well, what's its name? What's it called? And the guy said, what's the name of the flower? It's red and it's got thorns and you give it on Valentine's Day. And the other guy said, rose? And he goes, yeah. He says, hold on. And he calls to his wife in the other room. He says, Rose, what's the name of that pill I'm taking? So there's no real shortcuts to remembering or to retention. We really do have to trust in the Spirit, but it's not like we don't try maybe to make some shortcuts. What does Peter want to do when he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration? He doesn't know what else to say, so he says, let's just stay up here. Let's just stay up here. I think we do that sometimes as Christians. We want to stay on the mountaintop. We want to surround ourselves only with Christian friends. We never want to get ourselves into any kind of situation where that might be put to the test. But that isn't what Jesus wants from us. He doesn't want us to stay on the mountaintop. He wants us to take what we've learned and put it to work in the valley below. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to apply it. That's what it's all about. And I didn't put the dictionary definition of application up there. You know what it is. Taking what you know and putting it to work. James says in James 1, verse 22, but be ye hearers of the word and not doers only. That's what application is all about. What's that? What did I reverse? I don't even remember. Oh, be doers of the word. Yes, and not hearers only. So it isn't enough. It isn't enough just to hear and remember, because we're not very good at doing either of those. Although you were listening, you were paying attention. Thank you. I didn't even hear myself. But you can see why it's critical that our words match up with what we're doing, right? That we apply what we hear to our lives, because if we don't, people are going to wonder, what are they really talking about here? For instance, if you hear me talking about how important it is to eat healthy and to watch your diet, and then you watch me eat a horseshoe at the 4th Street Cafe, and I don't know if you know what that is. I just learned about this, and I can't stop thinking about it. It's an open-faced hamburger with two patties covered with French fries, chili, cheese, and onions. And like I said, I just can't stop thinking about it. It's that good. And I had one again last Wednesday, even though they know that I'm trying to watch what I eat and be healthy. But so you'd be right in questioning my commitment to eating healthy. Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. If somebody says they are a disciple of Jesus, which means they are a follower of Jesus, that they're paying attention and listening to what he says, and yet when you hear that person talk and it seems like everything that they're talking about comes out of a place of fear and anger and envy, and they gossip and they complain and all of that kind of stuff, then you'd be right in wondering, is this for real? Are they really a disciple, or are they listening and paying attention to something else entirely? As we read in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. This is Jesus talking. If you love me, you're going to do what I say. You're going to remember it. You're going to understand it. You're going to remember it, and you're going to apply it to your life. It's going to translate in terms of how you live your life. And when you do that, Jesus says, my Father will love you, and he will come to you, and he will make his home with you. Now, I don't think it gets much better than that. What he's telling us is if we pay attention to Jesus, and if we listen to him, that these things will happen. He will love us. He will come to us. He will make a home within us. He will transform and transfigure our lives. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of any better news than that. Let us pray together. Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to listen to your Son, Jesus Christ, who came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Help us to pick through all of those other competing voices that are there in the world and to truly know you and to love you and to let your word make a home in us and take root in our hearts. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.